Happy Friday, Saskatchewan. Jamie and Locker with the Year in the Green Zone. All Request Friday. We talked about it yesterday on the program. The theme for All Request Friday, you pick the tunes, songs that warm you up. Doesn't necessarily have to say hot or sun in the title.
No, it could be Marley. Like we talked about yesterday, Marley reminds you of going to Jamaica. Yeah. That's a hot spot.
Coming in from the cold?
Yeah.
People are doing that today, I can tell you that much.
Are you exploring a new look today?
What?
You're doing a little Tom Selleck.
Oh, sorry. A little
chest hair showing.
A little salad there. Sorry, bud. I could do the other button down for you if you'd
get
like.
Get the Magnum P.I. theme going there, Scotty.
I could grow the mustache if you'd like.
If you are willing to go full Tom
See,
Selleck
that would
stash.
That would be a put it on the board bet for me to grow the mustache out. I've shown you the photo of me with a mustache that was up for. I had it for 10 seconds.
Was that a COVID thing?
Well, yeah, I worked from home and didn't shave for a couple of months. And then I progressively shaved more facial hair off. And every time I'd come out and show the kids, they're like, okay, there goes the beard. Now it's just like the long mustache. And they're like, well, get rid of that. So I trimmed that down.
For those of you who have not met Jamie Nye, he has a little bit, if you look at the evolution poster, he's the third one from the left. So he has to set his alarm up in the middle of the night so he doesn't grow into the pillow and suffocate himself. He's that guy. You're a daily shaver, eh?
Oh, absolutely. You're not?
No.
Really?
I hate shaving.
I have to. Or
two, three times
said,
a week, tops.
I'll have a mustache in a week if I don't shave every day.
Yeah.
Or in 7 to 8 hours.
Like I said, just barely standing. Old Jamie Nye.
Let's go!
And now, the starting lineup.
We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. I can't wait for this one. Marner is back in Toronto tonight.
You know, I don't want to look back anymore. I don't want to look in the past. You know, I feel like if you look back, you know, you'll not focus on what's in front of you. So, to kind of not answer it, but I'm focused on what's going on right now.
Imagine that, Mitch Marner not answering a question from Toronto media. He is his first return to Toronto since leaving. Well, it was kind of like a sign and trade deal with the Vegas Golden Knights this offseason. The game starts at 6. They have changed it. This will be nationally televised, Sportsnet and TSN.
We kind of called that last week when we were talking about this, how stupid that was.
Let's fix this. It's a nationally televised game, and our question today is, how bad is Mitch Marner going to get it?
Bruce Boudreau was on Overdrive earlier, and they put a poll up on Twitter because he said that he should get the same reception that Jonathan Toews got when he returned to Chicago last week.
That is ridiculous.
That is crazy.
So they
I got to find out what Boudreau's been drinking because I want a box of that.
So they asked, do you agree with Bruce Boudreau? Should Mitch Marner get the same treatment Toews got in Chicago, which is like placards, a welcome back, and a huge 3-minute standing ovation? And 82% said disagree. No. I want to meet the 18% who said he
82
should.
82 is low.
How many times did his dad vote on that poll? Mitch Marner returns to Toronto tonight for the first time since heading off to Vegas.
And not that this is going to be at all talked about, but Rasmus Anderson, he actually, from the Flames, makes his debut with the Knights tonight, apparently. Oilers lay an egg at home against the Penguins.
Connor Clifton dishing off a shot and poked home, and Pittsburgh takes an early 1-0 lead. And it's a quick 2-on-1. Mantha for Brazo. He's in on net. Scores! Crosby up top. Shade to the middle. Redirection home by Crosby. 3-0 Pittsburgh.
And then I went to bed. Penguins 6, Oilers 2, the final score. What you just heard was Anthony Mantha scoring twice and Sid scoring his first game of the night in 37 seconds in the first period. The 37-second spree is the fastest three goals in Penguins history and the fastest three allowed by Oilers in franchise history. McDavid held off the score sheet again. That's the second time that he has, well, back-to-back games. The first time this season. Last time was last year. It was the game before the Four Nations and the game after the Four Nations. He doesn't get held off the score sheet very often. The Penguins
he was
are
angry
in
last night.
He was not happy. We talked about that with JB because I think he was not expecting that pass from Bouchard.
After the Evgeny Malkin had a breakaway goal, he got the puck away from McDavid, goes down breakaway, and scores because he outskated Matthias Ekholm, because everybody outskates Matthias Ekholm. And everybody was like, what's McDavid doing? He's yelling at his bench after he was the one who turned the puck over. I'm like, no! Evan Bouchard passes that puck right in his skates, and it handcuffs him, and that's what
that's not the play there. That's why he was mad. Like, he cycles. He wants the play down low. Anyway, by the way, the Oilers will host Washington on Saturday night. That is a 9 o'clock start for that game.
Of course, the National Football League, it's AFC-NFC Championship weekend.
May steps into it, takes a shot downfield, and caught for the touchdown! Stafford going towards the end zone. Parkinson, what a catch and a touchdown.
And that's my pick for the Super Bowl. It is Drake May, the New England Patriots, going to Denver to take on Jarrett Stidham and the Denver Broncos with Bo Nix's injury.
There's nothing about the Bo Nix practicing this week or taking some reps, trying to.
Completely
that was fake?
Fake news.
Okay. All right.
Didn't happen. All right. LA Rams are in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. A 5:30 kickoff, the AFC Championships, 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. I'm going Patriots-Rams. You're going
Patriots-Seahawks.
Seahawks. What do you got for your Super Bowl pick? Who do you think is going to make it to Super Bowl 60? Or better yet, who do you want to play in Super Bowl 60? Let us know, 1-877-332-8255.
Has Scotty put out the pick'em picks from yet?
I have no idea.
4:55, they're coming out. Okay, I'll keep an eye out for that one. Oh, fun on a Friday. Let's lock do the tennis story. Canada's Victoria Mboko is off to the fourth round in Australia. Push.
The rising star continues her descent. Mboko through the fourth round of a Grand Slam for the first time.
The 19-year-old Toronto native, 14th seed, she beat Clara Tusen of Denmark to get to the next round.
This is fun.
And Mboka had six aces in that match.
I can't wait for you to try to pronounce the woman
she'll face
faces
the world's number one, Arena Sabalenka.
Belarus. Oh, no.
Sabalenka?
Arena Sabalenka.
Sabalenka.
All right. Here we go.
Thanks for that, by the way. Drop that one in the locker slot.
This should be a daily segment. Weekly going into tennis tournaments is Locker Reads tennis scores. In the Western Hockey League yesterday, the Swift Current Broncos came out to address what has been a difficult season.
The board felt it was essential to prioritize stability for our players, staff, and the fans moving forward. At the same time, the board recognized the need for a comprehensive review of internal operations to ensure the organization is properly positioned for long-term success.
That was the president of the team addressing the media. Also, the general manager, Chad Leslie, spoke yesterday. Of course, this is the second time in the last few years that a coach had to leave the team. A head coach, because of an incident at practice, Dean DeSilva left earlier in the season. That puts Travis Moen and Regan Darby, assistant coaches,
sort of on the hot seat. Kind of, right?
All of a sudden, they're pushed into a bigger role. The general manager also addressed, and he felt the need to address the fact that he, the general manager, has two assistant coaches, both with sons on the team, but said Carter Moen and Hudson Darby are just the players we need in Swift Current. It doesn't matter who their dads are. So there's a lot going on in Swift Current. They're struggling. They're at the bottom of the standings, but the organization is hiring an outside third party to help look at the organization as a whole, make it sustainable, and see how things go with their head coaching search going forward, because it's been a little bit of a mess so the last couple of years, unfortunately, for the Swift Current Broncos.
All right, we'll move on to curling. The Scotties Tournament of Hearts starts tonight in Mississauga.
Without Rachel in the picture, Anderson's, it's really hers to lose.
Russ Howard actually will be breaking down the Scotties for us coming up at 3:35. Always enjoy our chats with Russ Howard. Defending champ Rachel Holman, she is out. She's gearing up for the Olympics. So the four-time Scotties champ, Carrie Einarsson, is the favorite to as the Team Canada replacement. She's going to be tough to beat. Saskatchewan's Jolene Campbell is skipping for the second time at the Scotties with her sixth appearance. The Saskatchewan rink will hit the ice for the first time tomorrow night against Nova Scotia's Taylor Stevens. First time the Scotties has been held. This surprised me. This came up when we were actually chatting with, with Russ. First time the Scotties has been held in Greater Toronto Area. Do you think they're going to have a crowd?
I don't know.
If it's not hockey,
tonight they're a little bit distracted. Mitch Marner's return to Toronto tonight, but we'll see. Like where it is in Mississauga, a lot of population out there.
Yeah.
But their big facility is right off one of the main highways. Like, it's not hard to get there at all. So we'll see. I hope it's a good turnout in the GTA. They get pretty good crowds for their Grand Slam event. So more with Russ Howard coming up to preview the Scotties Tournament of Hearts. But coming up next, we might give away a big jackpot this weekend. You think tomorrow? Nine games in the NHL. $700 is the jackpot for the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest. Are you playing for the money tomorrow? We'll tell you next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
This works. Songs that warm you up. That's the theme for All Request Friday. I'm feeling already better, Bob.
Hey? Have you gone outside to warm the start the car?
I've got the newer vehicle today. Normally, the wife gets the nicer car. Mm-hmm. So I've got a remote.
Oh, you got the remote.
The old wagon, I have to run outside and do a little manual start.
Yeah, the warning still in effect for the cold weather throughout Saskatchewan. Well, tomorrow, only nine games in the NHL, but
light schedule.
We've gotten goals for the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest with fewer games on a
Saturday. If I remember correctly, it was a light schedule when we gave away that, was it $1,700 last year? I think it was
a terrible memory for this. I remember the $1,700. I remember Marcel. He came in. He was very excited, as I would have been, to get $1,700. But I can't remember how many games were on that Saturday.
I think it was a lighter schedule because we were like, look, you're not going to have a chance. And then he pulled it out. There you go.
Nine games tomorrow in the National Hockey League. If any of those games start in the first 20 seconds of the first period with a goal, someone will win the jackpot that is currently sitting at a season-high $700. Who's playing for the $700 locker?
It is Janelle Sander out of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
There you go. Janelle, good luck. They either win $700 or next week it'll be $800 for the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest. And yes, you can still register at CJME.com and CKOM.com. You register once, you're in for the entire season. So if you've already registered this year, you don't have to again. You're good to go for the rest of the season. So good luck.
Just hit the contest section on the page. Pretty easy to find.
All Request Friday.
Sheldon wanted that one.
Sheldon.
Good call.
A little hot, hot, hot. See, we're flipping the script is what we're doing. One of the coldest days of the year. Let's get some hot music going. What do you got? 1-877-332-8255. Is the fan line here on the Green Zone All Request Friday. You pick the tunes going into the weekend. Those songs that
warm us up, everybody. Warm us up.
Jamie and Locker with you here on this Friday, a Friday in which tonight, if you're an NHL fan, especially if you're a Leaf fan.
Are you looking forward to the game?
Yes.
I am as well.
Yes.
Are they going to have, is Cuthbert calling this one? I like Chris's calls.
He's usually the Leafs guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he probably will.
So it's a national game. They changed it. This was going to be a regional game for only Toronto. But they flipped it.
They realized how stupid that was.
I was like, yeah, we should probably put this one national. So you will be able to watch Leaf fans boo the heck out of Mitch Marner, although his teammate Joseph Woll the other day said this.
I would hope it's a warm welcome. I know he has nothing but, you know, good memories here, and I think the fans have experienced a lot of good memories with him as well. So I think hockey is a place of respect, and I hope that, you know, the fans pay him respect. And
yeah, that's not going to happen.
How,
Joseph?
How bad should Mitch Marner get it from Leaf fans tonight?
Well, you played me the John Tavares homecoming. So he signs with the Leafs in July of 2018.
Of course, you remember the photo when he signed.
Yeah.
He's had his Leaf pajamas on as a kid.
Yeah.
And New York Islander fans were right ticked off because they could have traded him. And then he kind of hinted that he might want to stay. So
yeah,
they didn't trade him. And then he left in free agency. It's a similar story to Mitch Marner.
It is, yes. And he dragged his feet. It cost the Islanders, right?
Oh, and they booed the bejeebus out of him when he returned to New York.
That was impressive. Now, I think there is a bit of a different, maybe I'm wrong, is there a bit of a difference between a Toronto fan base and a New York fan base?
There
is. Or is it apples to apples?
No, there is.
Because New Yorkers don't hold back.
They're
aggressive. When they're not happy about something, they will let you know. It doesn't matter.
But Leaf fan, like in Toronto, I think they amp up their anger. Like, look at Steve Dangle, for crying out loud, watching him watch Leaf games. Like,
yeah,
he's the pro. When it's bad, they go from 0 to 12 real quick.
Yeah.
And remember, when John Tavares returned to New York, Mitch Marner was his teammate. And Mitch Marner was asked about what he remembers about how John Tavares handled that return to New York when he compares it to tonight.
I wish we played a better game for him in that first game back. But, yeah, he was cool and collected about it. He, you know, it didn't bother him as, you know, as much maybe people thought it could have or tried to do. That was pretty interesting. And, you know, I think for me to watch that and think of it now, you know, try to the same way, I'm going to try to go and do it.
Are you excited for tonight, or is this sort of kind of a band-aid that you're going to feel relief when you kind of rip it off for the first time?
I think there's maybe both in those moments, in a way. Excited, you know, to go out there and play hockey and do my thing. I'm sure once the game is over, I'll be excited just to have it over with and, you know, kind of be done.
Yeah, Mitch Marner was also asked today about what he's thinking about the tribute that will be played in the arena tonight.
I'm trying not to think of too much. You know, I'm sure it'll really hit once it starts going and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm not trying to think about it too much. I think it's going to be, you know, a cool moment to kind of just, I'm going to try to enjoy it and then, you know, try to get back to hockey right away. But, yeah, I don't know. I haven't thought of that too much. I'm trying not to. I know it's going to be, you know, maybe a weird, cool, special moment all in one.
Dean sent us a text. He says that he hopes that Mitch Marner gets it pretty loud tonight for him to say that he's expecting a video tribute. I didn't hear that. Did you hear that? He's expecting a video tribute?
Well, they just asked him about the video tribute.
I think you might be a little off there, Dean. I'm not sure he said he expects one, but that's beside the point. By the way, also, the Leafs got pumped that night in Tavares' return to the island.
Oh, yeah.
6-1. I actually think that the Leafs are going to beat up on the Knights tonight. That's my prediction.
I don't think so. They don't have any defensemen. I think it get ugly the other way. But here's the thing with Mitch Marner and the history there with Toronto. As you contemplate the question, like, how bad should Leaf fans get it? It's like, these are things, it's comparable to John Tavares. It's comparable, to bring it here, it's comparable to Henry Burris.
Yeah.
Who said, you know, Saskatchewan loves Saskatchewan, I want to play my whole career here, and then, bye, see you later, I'm off to Calgary. But John Tavares, Mitch Marner, the way things went about, and Elliot Friedman wrote a great piece at Sportsnet.ca about the history of this, and how personally Mitch Marner and the people around him, like, every slight was major. I didn't realize this, but Elliot points out Mitch Marner had people in the Leafs organization openly around him, removing social media from his phone, advising him on it. Mitch Marner would go home and doom scroll himself. He would search his name. But it wasn't like search his name like Michael Jordan, and I take that personally and score a hat trick. It was weighing on him in Toronto. Hmm. And Elliot's story points out that any little compliment to him raised his confidence. And the players started to realize, oh, this guy needs like he needs hand, like pats on the back all the time to keep him up and keep him going, because the minute he went low, it was scrolling and oh, this guy's Elliot goes back to when he didn't play as an 18-year-old, how much that impacted him, how much he took that as a slight that Austin Matthews got to play in his first year, but I had to go back to London. Like, it's all this stuff where you see the personality trait mm-hmm. of Mitch Marner and why people like Dean say he's a self-centered egomaniac.
Well, and that was part of my thought that he might have been a bit of the problem. Like, out of that core four, when you take a look at what happened, right? Tavares gets the extension. Matthews gets the big deal. Even though it's a shorter-term deal, he gets the big deal. Before they got to Marner, they deal with Nylander. So out of the core four, he gets put to the back of the bus. And I think that got under his skin, and I think that's also part of the reason why he decided to take a flyer and head to Vegas.
Because he had every opportunity. They went to him.
And I thought, and listen, Jamie, I thought, at the beginning of the season, and they're starting to get back on track, I thought, you know what? Maybe there's something we don't know about how that dressing room, the culture of that dressing room was in Toronto. And he might have been the problem. And maybe they can get... Yeah, listen, he's a 100-point guy. Don't get me wrong. That's a big hole to fill. But they might be able to get back on track if they get rid of... Maybe he was the problem. But then you had people defending Marner, saying he was a team first guy. He was the one that was planning the parties. So you were getting conflicting information about what Marner meant to that locker room and that organization.
Well, even Elliot Friedman pointed out, though, that Mitch and his people felt the team didn't have his back enough after the playoffs here. There was a playoff series where Matthews missed some time and Nylander missed some time.
Yeah.
He was coming off a high ankle sprain. He only got 3 points. And people were like, this is when he needed to step up because these guys were like sick and everything else. And he wasn't there. But he was dealing with stuff. And Brad Treliving came out and said, he's dealing with a lot more than you guys realize. To the team, that was enough to defend Mitch Marner. But apparently to Mitch Marner, that wasn't enough. To really, like, I don't know if they wanted to bring out his medical chart and disclose everything he was battling, but it just seemed like the team couldn't do anything good enough for Mitch Marner. And for the fan base, Mitch Marner could never be good enough for the fan base. And it all culminates into tonight and what it's going to be like, Scotiabank Place, downtown Toronto, as Mitch Marner steps onto the ice and warm up.
Yeah.
I imagine he's getting it all night long.
Oh, for sure. And I hope it's severe. Honestly, I think that I think fans.
The thing that if I was a Leaf fan, I'm not a Leaf fan. The thing that would get me upset more than anything else is the more and more you hear about it, that Mitch Marner had checked out of Toronto before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And the team went to him.
Well, and you brought it up earlier, too, about the way he could have waived
the Rantanen thing.
With the Rantanen and the Hurricanes.
They were trying to work out a 3-way deal with Vegas to send him to Vegas and try to have things. And he would not waive his no-trade clause.
You can't be happy with that.
So he goes to Vegas anyways. And, yeah, there's a little bit of a deal there.
Yeah.
But nothing of what you would have got at the trade deadline last year.
No, he messed that deal up.
1-877-332-8255.
One more thing.
How big should he get it tonight?
One more thing, quickly. because Ian brought it up, and Ian's siding with Marner, but brings up Babcock, and you brought up Babcock in the Green Zone Lounge earlier today.
Is his whole attitude, what you saw from Marner and what you read about him, like, I always go back to Babcock. Did Mike Babcock go about it the wrong way?
No.
Absolutely, he did. He went about it the wrong way. Mike Babcock went about it the wrong way.
Yes.
However, yes. Mike Babcock did something that he felt needed to be corrected in a young man, which was his attitude, which was his work ethic, and that is exactly what led to him bringing Mitch Marner into the office saying, give me a list of guys you think you're better at in the defensive end, kid. And he gave him reportedly three or four players. Now, Mike had him last. Like, no. The message was, no.
You're not.
The problem was he told one of the players that Mitch Marner had him that worse than Mitch. He went about it the wrong way.
You can't play games like that.
You can't do that.
No.
But I always go to the Mike Babcock situation, what led to his demise in Toronto around Mitch Marner, of Mike being a very, very astute coach over the years going, this kid's got an attitude that needs to be corrected.
Yeah. Babcock's an old school guy. He was trying to put him in his place. And old school things.
And instead it flipped on him. And
whether you agree with it or not, the old school way, everybody says this. You hear coaches and people involved in the game now talk about how they have to switch how they handle things.
Let's go to Norm in Saskatoon. Norm, how should Leaf fans handle Marner's return tonight in Toronto?
Of all, I've always wondered, what did Mitch Marner, you're letting out some of the information, but I never heard that at the time, and I don't know if I believe it now. However, what did he ever do to hurt Toronto to be a good hockey player, and he's in a real hot zone? And when people come out to boo Mitch Marner and stuff like that, it just shows me what a bunch of classless outfit, you know, Toronto and the fans are. And no wonder they're not winning. They're getting what they deserve. Thank you.
That's interesting, Norm, because I've also pondered this. Will Leaf fans learn from running Mitch Marner out of town not to run your... Because it's coming with, it could come with Austin Matthews, too.
Mm.
And then what are you left with? Let's go to Lauren in Saskatoon. Lauren, what kind of reception do you think Marner's going to get or should get tonight in Toronto?
Well, here's the thing. I think he's going to definitely get booed. But here, it's almost like just desserts, guys, because let's go back a few years ago and remember John Tavares when he decided to leave the island and go to Toronto. And when they returned, there was boos and there was big outcries from the Maple Leafs fans. Well, this is unfair. This is unfair. He shouldn't get booed. And even hearing you guys say, well, he, you know, Marner should get booed coming back and stuff like that. It's just absolute just desserts for Toronto and the Toronto fans. And you guys just mentioned it. I truly believe that they better watch what they say because Matthews could be the next one heading out.
He very well could be, Lauren. Thanks for the call. 1-877-332-8255. Tyson, you have a comment. What do you think's going to happen in Toronto with Marner returning with Vegas tonight?
Well, I'm sure he will get booed. But I will say this, I hate Toronto so much that I think the best thing that would happen, and I'm not even a Vegas fan, but at the end of the day, I hope Vegas wins the cup. And I hope Marner holds his parade on the streets of Toronto. That would be the perfect ending.
No.
I hate
Tyson,
that idea.
Tyson, you want the script? Here's the script. You ready? Toronto, Vegas, Stanley Cup final, game 7 in Toronto, overtime, Marner with the winner. Chef's kiss. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKLM. On this day in sports history, Locker, you might want to leave. It was January 23rd, 2022, Chiefs Bills AFC divisional round. It went back and forth, points all over the place in the final couple of minutes of the fourth quarter.
Hundreds of thousands around the planet. The kick is good! It's going to overtime! Looking to the end zone for the win! He caught it! Ball game! Chiefs to the championship game!
And
then they changed OT.
They changed overtime because that back and forth late in the game,
yeah.
Like Allen, Mahomes scores a touchdown, Allen scores a touchdown. Then Mahomes does the freak play, kicks the field goal to tie, and then they win the toss. Mahomes gets the ball, scores a touchdown, game over. Allen didn't get a chance to even touch the ball in OT.
And I think
so they changed
Patrick
the rule.
Had the ball for the last, it was 4 minutes at least of that last quarter.
Oh, it was crazy on what
because, that so fourth he was just was sitting epic. On the sidelines.
So Josh forever. Allen didn't get the ball, and of course the Bills complained. They changed overtime. Now both teams are guaranteed one possession no matter what happens after the coin
that
toss.
That took too long, though. Whether you're a Bills fan
happened,
or not, that
it
took
happened
too long.
To the Falcons in the 28-3 Super Bowl, right? The Patriots won the toss, get the ball, go down. White scores the touchdown. Game over. Matt Ryan didn't get the ball to try to answer, although the way they played in the fourth quarter, they weren't scoring anyways.